We'll take it soft.
Yeah. That's all right. We done discussed that. Russell said he wasn't putting up any more of that bend in his mic, so I don't want to bend his mic, so he said, I'll just take it down. See, I got old on him one time a while back. He wasn't here, and I just took that thing bending around like that. Appreciate you being here tonight. If you would, like I say, keep praying for the preacher. He wasn't feeling too good today. And, you know, I don't call no names, but had somebody come in and ask him who was preaching tonight. And I told him, I said, well, I'm going to leave. I'll expose them if they do. Appreciate you being here. It's good to be in God's house tonight. And if you would, open your Bibles to two places. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And Ezekiel 38. Hebrews 9 and Ezekiel 38. Hebrews chapter 9, if you would, just please stand back up, if you would, for reading God's Word. Give you a short break there. So this is a good exercise, up and down. Hebrews chapter 9, and verse number 27. And it, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Now, so let's stop and think about that for just a second. Before we go to Isaiah, and we're going to pray and then go to Isaiah. As it is appointed to man, to men once to die, but after this to judgment. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for this day. Thank you, God, for another privilege to be back in your house. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that your word have free course tonight. I pray, Heavenly Father, as I do every time I get up here, God, help me, Lord. I can't do it without you. And Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And Lord, if that applies to anybody, it applies to me. God, I'm asking tonight for your wisdom. And God, help me as I preach this message tonight that somebody get something out of it. But more than anything, that Jesus be glorified and your word be lifted up. I pray, Heavenly Father, in my heart, God, they don't hear me, but they hear your word. And they don't see me, but they see the Lord Jesus Christ in these scriptures that I read. Pray, Heavenly Father, you'd bless the preacher. Pray, Lord God, you'd bless the service tonight. And we're thanking and praying for all you do. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. As it is appointed to men once to die, but after this is judgment. Now, you know, everybody in here is going to die. That might sound like a morbid thought, but everybody in this room is going to die unless the Lord comes back and takes us home. That's understood. We're going to die. It don't matter if you're 12 years old or 967 years old, old as Methuselah. We're going to die somewhere down the line. Why? Because it is appointed to us that we're going to die. We were born to die. So as we think about this scripture here, it is appointed to men once to die. Now, we'll die one time. The lost man will die twice. I don't want to get into all that, but appointed to men once to die, but after this to judgment. So let's keep that in mind now. We're going to die one day somehow here unless Jesus takes us home through the rapture. All right? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38. Verse number 1. In those days, as Hezekiah sickened to death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And boy, wouldn't that be some news? Well, it probably would be saved, but verse 2. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Now, don't you notice what he did? He didn't jump up and go, whoopee, whoopee, I'm going to die. I'm getting out of here. Tell you what he did. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall. But what did he do? He prayed to the Lord and said, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart. And I have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord in Isaiah, saying, now I want you to watch this in verse number 5. For then came the word of the Lord, Isaiah, saying, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add to thy days 15 years. Now, he didn't say, "I have seen thy tears, and I'll consider your prayer." He didn't say, "I might hear your prayer." He didn't say, "Well, wait a few days, and I'll get back with you." No, ain't what God said. He said, "And I have seen thy tears." See, God sees it all. We don't get away with nothing with Him. He sees it all, He knows it all, and He knows what's going on. We can't get over on the Lord. So He said, "I have seen thy tears, and behold, I will add in thy days 15 years." Now, with that in mind, I want you to think about the last statement there. "I will add in thy days 15 years." So he's going to die, but God's going to give him 15 more years. Now, with that in mind, I want to preach tonight on this subject some things we need to do. Some things we need to do. Hey, I don't know. I might die tonight. You might die tonight. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when God's going to take us out of here. So, you know, we need to be stopping and thinking about what we need to be doing with our lives. Now, we can sit around here and idle our lives away and go through the motions of being here and what we want to do. And we can do that. And, hey, we can blow some people away and they think, "Well, boy, they down the line." But God knows. But what are we doing with our lives? Some things we need to do. With this in mind, he gives 15 more years for Hezekiah to live. We don't know when we're going to die. We may have one day, we may have one hour, we have 20 more years. So some things we need to do. First of all, we need to look back and praise Him. What are you talking about? We need to look back on our lives and praise God for what He's done for us. And there ain't nobody sitting in here tonight and sit here and say, "Well, boy, God ain't been good to me. He ain't treated me right." No, God's been good to all of us. Let us breathe His air and live in this life and serve Him and live for Him. He's been good to us. Now, I will say He has blessed some people more than others in different ways. God's been good to us. So, you know, we need to look back on our lives and praise Him. How many times do we do that? We need to look back and praise Him. What does that word praise mean? It means to revere. It means to worship. It means to adore. It means to give glory. So when we talk about praising Him, we need to revere Him. We need to worship Him, we need to adore Him, and we need to give Him glory. That's what we need to do. So when we think about, look back and praise Him, the first thing we want to look at is found over in Psalms chapter 21. You don't have to turn these scriptures, I'm going to turn to quite a few, but if you want to, Psalms 21. The first thing we need to do when we look back is see His power. And praise Him for His power. Psalms 21 and verse number 13. "But thou, exalted Lord, in thine own strength, so we sing praise to thy power." We need to look back and we need to worship God because of His power. You know, a lot of times I think we just kind of tumble through the lives and we don't stop and think about God's power. He don't have half power. He don't have a lot of power. He is all power. So we need to stop in our lives and look back and praise Him for His power. "Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power." We need to stop and take a look back in our lives at what He's done for us because of His power. And I realize a lot of times, when I say we, it's talking about me, it's kind of take it for granted, but His power. You go to Jeremiah chapter 27. Jeremiah 27. And boy, I read this, man, I about had a conniption. That's a Greek word. It means having a fit. See, I know a little bit of Greek along here. Jeremiah chapter 27. Look at verse number 5. He said, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by what? Somebody else's power? By my power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. You know, we ought to stop and think about, look back on our lives at God's power. He said, I made the earth. Yeah, it doesn't, man. He's made the earth. It's no problem to Him. He said, and the man, the beast that are upon the ground. He made man out of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. He also made the beast in the field. Don't get mad at me now. He even made a cat. By what? His great power. And my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seemed meet to me. So we need to stop and look back at what He's done for us because of His power. And then not only that, we ought to stop and look back on Him because of His mercy. His mercy. Isaiah 54. We'll go back at Isaiah 54. Because of His mercy. And boy, I'm going to tell you what, I thank God for His mercy every day. In Isaiah 54, and look at verse number 7. Boy, smoke. Now, it's talking about Israel here, and I'm well aware of that. These scriptures right here, getting down to here, talking about Israel. But what I want you to see is verse 7. And for a small moment have I forsaken thee, speaking of Israel, but with great mercy shall I gather thee. Why? His great mercies, He was going to gather Israel. In spite of what Israel done, in spite of the way Israel lived, in spite of how they did Him, He was going to gather them back. Why? His great mercies. His mercies. Go to Lamentations chapter 3. Now watch this, Lamentations chapter 3. We're talking about Israel there. We're going to look at Lamentations chapter 3. See if this applies to anybody. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 22. Now I want you to watch this. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Boy, I tell you what, we stop and think about that. It's only by God's mercies He don't consume this whole crowd down here on earth. Well, now, preacher, I'm pretty good. I'm a pretty good person. Well, you may be. Other than God's mercies, wouldn't none of us be here. None of us would have anything. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Don't you figure He gets fed up with people? But His mercy. Why? Because His compassions fail not. Don't you notice what He said? S, compassions. That's plural. That's a bunch of them probably. In verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So we see two things here. Number one, and we see His mercies. We ought to be thankful for His mercy and look back on His mercy to us. And then we ought to, they are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. And we ought to stop and think about His faithfulness. Has He ever failed anybody in here? I hope nobody raised their hand. He ain't never failed me. Boy, I failed Him a bunch of times. He ain't never failed me, and He ain't going to fail you. He never will fail you. He never will fail anybody. Why? Because He's God, and He knows it all, and He can do it all, and He is all in all. We need to look back and praise Him for His power, for His mercy. And then not only that, what about His grace? What about His grace? Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Very familiar scriptures. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse number 8. Grace, unmerited favor, something we don't deserve. For by grace, you're saved through faith, yet not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, I'm going to tell you, I've had some people tell me, well, I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. Oh, yeah? Well, you just lied to me because you ain't good, neither am I. Now, we ain't going to heaven because we're good. We're going to heaven because of the grace of God. What is grace? It's unmerited favor. It's something we don't deserve, and He gives it to us anyhow. For by grace, God's marvelous grace, are ye saved through faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Pretty good God, ain't He? And then verse 9 is, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I've come out of a church, been in that church about 700 years before I got gospel light in the old church. I thought I was going to heaven. I can work my way to heaven. That's what they taught. I thought I was good. But may I remind you, and you know as well as I, and you may have been in some churches like that. But it ain't because of works. I can't go around boating. I'm going to heaven. If I drop dead tonight, I'm going to heaven. Why? Because I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and saved by His grace, and I believed on Him for salvation. So we need to stop and think about it. We need to look back on the grace of God in our lives. The grace He has shown everybody in this building tonight. And we need to stop and think about that. Not only that, but go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Very familiar scriptures. Nothing spooky about these, nothing hard about these. Acts chapter 4. Look at verse number 12. Grace. Neither the salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. That's God's grace. Noah, that's His grace. He don't have to save anybody. He don't have to save anybody. He'll save you from the uttermost to the guttermost. He'll save you no matter who you are, what you are, if you'll call on His Son, trust on Him, and believe in Him. But He don't owe us nothing. Neither the salvation any other. But another name under heaven, get among men, why you must be saved. That's His grace. That's God's grace that He'd save somebody like me. That's His grace. So the first thing we need to look at is, we need to look back and praise Him for His power, His mercy, for His grace. And there's many other things I could have put down there, but I'd have been here tomorrow night. And you would have, no, you probably wouldn't. Y'all probably done left. The second thing we need to do, some things we need to do. Now, remember what I read? He gave Him 15 more years to live, and he could look back now, and he had time to go back and recycle some things and get himself straightened out, Hezekiah. And the next thing, not only do we need to look back and praise Him, but we need to look forward and trust Him. I'm going to tell you what, I got some friends that I trust pretty much. I mean, boy, I got some brothers and sisters in Christ. I trust them. I trust them a lot. But there ain't nobody that I can trust like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, people will let you down. I'll let you down. Not intentionally, but I'll let you down. So the second thing, we need to look forward and trust Him. Go to Psalms 33. Psalms 33. And look at verse number 21. Psalms 33, 21. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Now I want you to notice what the Bible says. It says our heart. It didn't say our soul. It didn't say our body. It said our heart. That's where it's at. That's where salvation is, in our heart. If you ain't got it in your heart, you don't have it. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession made unto salvation. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. As a man in his heart, so is he. It's the heart. And that's what blew me away when I looked at that. And man, I read that thing a bunch of times. The Lord, it's a heart. So we need to stop and realize when we look forward, Psalms 33 and verse number 21, what it says. The heart. For our heart shall rejoice in who? Him. Why? Because we have trusted in His holy name. It didn't say name, it said holy name. We trusted in His holy name. Not only can we trust Him in that, go to Philippians chapter 4, another very familiar scripture. Philippians chapter 4. You know, a lot of times we go to, I know when the kid, my kids are growing up, me and Ruby's kids growing up, there's a lot of times I didn't know. And I mean, boy, there just wasn't enough time for the money going around. And you know, I was getting to wonder, like, and you probably have too. What about our need? You know, what about our needs? Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19. Yeah, but my God shall supply most of your needs. Oh, let me read that again. But my God shall supply the biggest majority of your needs. No. My God, our God, Jehovah, shall supply all your need according to His riches by Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to notice something. You probably already know it. But I want you to notice something in that scripture. And yeah, I quoted that thing wrong for a long time. But God shall supply, it is all your need. And I used to tell people, well, the Bible says God supply all your needs, plural, and He will. But notice what this scripture says. But God shall supply all your need. That's every need individually we have to have. He'll supply it. According to His riches, by Christ Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. All of our need. And so we need to trust Him. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Again, most people, most of you probably quote the scripture. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5. You know, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. There it is again, the heart. The heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. Now, you know, if God didn't tell us to understand Him, He said, trust me. Many times I told Ruby, I said, I don't understand what God's doing. The one day that hit me, the Holy Spirit showed me that thing. I'm not bragging. I'm bragging on Him. And when I seen that, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not in thine own understanding. Why? I don't understand what God's doing. He didn't say understand Him. He said, trust me. And lean not in thine own understanding. In all, A-L-L, all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. He didn't say He'd direct a few of them, or some of them, or a lot of them. He said, I shall direct thy paths in all thy ways. Yeah, so we need to look at that thing there, and we need to trust Him and not try to understand Him. So first of all, we need to look back and praise Him. Second of all, we need to look forward and trust Him. And then the next thing we need to do is we need to look around and serve Him. Hey, look around. Look around everywhere we go. We get up in the morning, every one of us go different ways. Some of you people probably run into 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 people on your job or what you do or where you go. But we all run into people every day. A lot of them we don't even know. A lot of them we never see again. We need to look around and serve Him. First of all, we need to take a look at souls. Look at Proverbs 11. Another familiar scripture. Proverbs chapter 11. Verse number 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, life eternal. And he that winneth souls is wise. You ever think about that? Look around and serve Him. You know, one of the first things that Christians ought to be doing, that God's children ought to be doing, they ought to be trying to win souls. Man, there's people out here every day we run across and run into and talk to and get mad at the store and want to cuss them sometimes and get mad at them. Hey, they're a soul. We need to be after souls. God saved us to win souls and go after the lost. Now, what did He say? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, life eternal. Everybody that we win to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He gets the glory, not us. God forbid we take the glory. I'd be scared to take the glory. He'd probably kill me. So I'm not saying we take the glory. What I'm saying is there's people out there going to hell every day. And we're brushing shoulders with them. Fruit of the righteous, a tree of life, and he that winneth souls, God says, a wise man. He ain't wise in his own eyes. He ain't wise in his own conceits, because the devil talks about that. But he's wise because God said we need to be after souls. People's lost and on the way to hell, and that's where they're going to be if somebody don't reach them. And we run into them every day, brush shoulders with them. So we need to think about that. He that wins souls is wise. And then not only that, but I don't have any up here, but we'll carry tracks around with us all the time. We'll have a pocket full of tracks somewhere in our pocket. Or you ladies in your pocketbook. I hope you men ain't got a pocketbook. Or you don't be voting for that H2DLRC, whatever that junk is. So I hope you men ain't got no pocketbook. Now, if you have, kind of keep it to yourself, okay? But what I'm saying, if you ladies have a pocketbook, and some of you got one big enough to put a horse in, you need to have some tracks in that thing, and you need to give them tracks out where people can look at it and say, well, I tell you what, I was giving them to them before, and when I walk off, I count back, and they'll water them up and throw them down. But I did what God told me to do. If they water them up and throw them down, or if they use them to water up off the ground, that's up to them. When you give them a gospel tract, then you're through with what you can do with them unless you have an opportunity to witness to them. You say, well, I've given out 50 tracts in the last 2 weeks. And I ain't had nobody tell me to go. We ain't up to us to keep up with it. We don't keep score. God does. Our job is to give out the tracts so people can read the Word of God and trust Him and get saved. It ain't up to us to worry about whether. I hope they do. And we ought to be concerned. But you know, we ought to be after souls. We ought to be giving out gospel tracts. And we need to be praying for these people. I say we. I'm talking about me. These people are going to hell. And they're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. When they've been there 1,000,000 years, it'll be like they just got there. They'll never get out of that lake of fire. So we need to be giving out some gospel tracts. We need to be trying to win souls. Well, Brother Melvin, I don't know the Bible. You know what that is? That's a trick of the devil. That's all the devil wants us to think. I don't know it either, like or to. If I can give somebody a gospel tract and let them read it. So, winning souls, giving out tracts. You need to pray for people. The Bible says on Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Well now, Melvin, you know better. I can't walk around all day. Now, if you did, they'd be hauling you off to the loony bin. But that don't mean you've got to pray with your mouth. Hey, you know where you pray? In your heart. We can have a prayer in our heart all day long for lost people and people we see, people we come in contact with, and people we know of that are lost. We can have a prayer in our heart all the time. Pray without ceasing. Not only that, but what about our testimony? What about our testimony? I'm talking about me. You know, lost people look at us. The Bible says, and they fastened their eyes on Jesus. All the eyes in the synagogue were fastened on Jesus. But may I say to you today, they're watching us too. What about our testimony? What about that? Take your Bible and go over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hall of Fame chapter. Look at verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated, he should not see death. That was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He didn't say he had a testimony, he pleased his co-workers. He didn't say he had a testimony, pleased the people around him. He had a testimony that he pleased God, Jehovah God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he pleased. Hey, he's in the Hall of Fame over there in Hebrews. By faith. He had a testimony that he pleased God. You know, we need to watch our testimony. We need to watch where we go. We need to watch the way we act. Well, now, you know, Brother Melvin, I ain't nobody. I'm not either. I'll give you an example. Me and Ruby used to go to King on Tuesdays up there when I preached on the internet, and I'm not bragging on me, but I'm just saying, and I don't know what it was, but there's a couple of exits up in there in Winston-Salem. Let me be nice. These people, well, it ain't what I want to say, but that's what I'm going to say. These people that had these stupid phones about that long, that wide, and they had them up in their ear, and they'd be coming off of the exit, and I told Ruby, I said, watch them. They wouldn't no more see me than a calf laying in a ditch. And you know what they'd do? They couldn't see me because they're covering their eyes, and they couldn't hear the horn of nothing because they're running their mouth. And I've had more than one of them try about run us off the road into the interstate in the middle of it. Let me be nice. One lady one day, and I wasn't in a real good mood to start with. I didn't feel like I was ready to preach that day. And I seen the car coming off the exit. And I thought, I bet she ain't gonna stop. He ain't gonna stop. Sure enough, pulled off and run right there to hit us. I got in the other lane, and when I did, I said, God bless her. No, I didn't, I lied. Now, you know what I said? Look at that stupid woman. She about run us off the road. She ain't even watching what she's doing. And I've got in front of her and started slowing down. Brivy said, keep going. What? Boy, wouldn't that have been something if I'd have caused her to have a wreck because of my stupidity? Wouldn't that have been a good testimony? I'm saying we need to watch our testimonies and have a testimony as best we can. You can do everything right for 100 years and mess up one time, and our testimony's gone. I'm saying we. I'm preaching to me. Our testimony's gone. And once you lose that testimony to some people, you ain't going to get it back. So, we need to look around and serve Him. We need to be winning souls. And we need to be giving out tracts. We need to be praying for people. We need to have a good testimony as best we possibly can. So, first of all, we need to look back and praise Him. We need to look forward and trust Him. And we need to look around us and serve Him. And then lastly, we need to look up and expect Him. We need to look up. Marvin's going to like this one. We need to look up and expect Him. You know, sometimes I wonder how many of God's people are looking up and really expecting Him to come back. We get so wrapped up in this ungodly smudge pot down here that a lot of times I don't believe we're really looking for Him. And hey, it's easy to get in this situation down here where our thoughts and our mind and our everything go to moving away from the Lord and getting into this ungodly world we live in. And if we're not careful, it ain't long till we got our eyes on this world and not on Him. We need to look up and expect Him. And I dare say probably everybody in here, every day, I know, I look up in the clouds a lot of times, even so, come quickly. So, you know, and I know you probably do too. He is coming back. If you don't believe it, ask Marvin. He's coming back. Well, I've been hearing that for all my life. Well, you may hear it from the rest of your life. He's coming back. So we need to look up and expect Him. Look at John chapter 14. Another familiar scripture. All these scriptures are scriptures you could probably quote. John 14. And look at verse number 3. Look at verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, you believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm not coming back for you. Oh, let me read that again, verse 3. And if I go, and He is going, I and prepare a place for you, I will. He didn't say I might. He didn't say I could. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say I'll think about it. He didn't say how good you've been. He didn't say, well, keep on begging, keep on trying, keep on climbing, keep on hoping. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Hey, we need to be looking up and expecting Him any time. Even so, come quickly. I believe everybody in this building tonight can say the same thing. With this smudge pot down here. So we need to be looking for Him. He's coming back. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And boy, I about had a conniption. I've read this many times. I was preparing this message, about had a conniption over this too. Remember, that's a Greek word. It means having a fit. Acts chapter 1. Look at verse number 8. But you shall receive power that after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. And this is the words of the Lord Jesus. He's fixing to leave. To be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. And when they had spoken these words, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven and went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, not a different one, not another one, not a fake Jesus, not an imposter, but this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. He's coming back. That's what He told them. That's why He said it. He said, they're coming back. He said, even as He went into heaven, so He'll come in like manner as you have seen Him go even into heaven. He's coming back. We need to be looking for Him. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, more familiar scriptures, and I'm through. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm going to read a few more verses on that too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. He's talking about saved people, brethren. Concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now I want you to notice what the Bible says. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You know these people lost, they don't have no hope. The only hope they've got is this world, what they can get out of this life. That's the only hope they've got. Now, they think they're all right. I did for a lot of years. That's the only hope a lot of people's got is what they've got here, and it's going to fade away, and it's going to be gone. All right, let's read on. For God has called... Make sure I'm getting wound up here. Verse 4 and verse 13. Verse 14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Hey, we're going to come back with him one day. If we already up there, we're coming back. For this we say unto you by the word of who? The Lord. This ain't what a preacher says. It ain't what I'm saying. It ain't what an evangelist says. It's what the Lord says. That we, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, now I like that. He ain't going to send Gabriel, he ain't going to send Gabriel and Michael, the warrior and the archangel. He ain't going to send the seraphims and the cherubims. He ain't sending the 420 elders. He ain't sending none of the host of heaven. He ain't sending Michael and his warriors. He said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I've had a lot of people say, well, he's going to shout. They don't know what he's going to shout. Don't matter what he's going to shout. We're going. He'd come down and shout, hallelujah, North Carolina won the championship. We're still going. It don't matter. That ain't like it's going to happen. But what you laughing at, Reddick? They could have. Yeah. With a shout. And with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. See, they got further to go. They got to come out in the grave. They got to come back and meet the Lord. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We ain't going to be with Him a month. We're not going to be with Him a year. And we ain't going to be with Him a decade. We're not going to be with Him a century. We're not going to be with Him a millennium. But we're going to be with Him forever and ever and ever and ever. So we should ever be with the Lord. And in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. If we think about that scripture and we read on Isaiah, and I'm going to turn back over there again and read it, and I'm going to close out. In Isaiah 38, that's an amazing scripture, what he said. And his whole message is pretty much on that. Verse number 5. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, the Father, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add into thy days 15 years. So he'd give Isaiah 15 more years. What some things that we need to do. We need to look back and praise Him. And we need to look forward and trust Him. And we need to look around and serve Him. And we need to look up and expect Him. That's what we need to be doing. Go ahead, every head bowed and every eye closed.